Luke chapter 1. And let me say this, that it's been about a month ago since we've done this. It was back on Easter that we had our first drive-up service. And who would have thought that April would have been warmer than May to have an outdoor service? But it is Chicago, right? So there you have it. We're in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 46. Our message this morning will be addressed to mothers. And I want us to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, this morning. And if you're not a mother, there are plenty of things that you can take away from this message that would be good for us to learn. But I want us to look at some of the character traits of Mary. And in Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 46. This is often referred to as Mary's Magnificat. And this is a passage that I know we often come to for Christmas. But there are some real truths in here in regards to Mary's character. Because I don't know about you, but I have asked myself, why is it that the Lord chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus Christ, His incarnate Son? And I think there are some real important character traits that we see in this passage. Beginning in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 46, it says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." The first thing she does is have a proper view of God, puts Him in His place. In verse 47, "And my spirit shall rejoice in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid." And she puts herself in her proper place. She recognizes God for who He is, and she recognizes where she is. And she says, "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Let's bow our head in prayer. Father, we thank You for the truth of this word. And Lord, we ask this morning that You will be honored by the preaching of Your word. Lord, may we see the things in Mary's life that You want us to see. Father, we pray that You would be with the mothers that are here this morning. Lord, that You will bless them and encourage them. Lord, I pray that You will teach them. And Father, we ask that we will rear a generation of young people that are in love with You and that are in complete surrender to You. Lord, we ask, please. And so, Father, we pray this morning that You would be honored in all that is said and done. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. So why did God choose Mary? What was it that caused her to be the earthly mother of His Son, the Messiah? Well, we have some pretty important insights into the character of this young lady in this passage that we've just looked at. Mary was not perfect. Keep that in mind. No person is. But she had some character traits that were important to God as He looked to earth to choose the earthly mother for the Messiah. And mothers, we can see some things in Mary that would behoove us to incorporate into our own lives. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage, and it may not be so quickly noticeable to us, but there are 15 discernible quotes from the Old Testament in the 10 verses that we have here. This Magnificat of Mary, this anthem of praise, is only 10 verses long, and within those 10 verses, she makes reference to at least 15 Old Testament passages. It's amazing to think about that. That tells us that Mary knew the Word of God. Mary had the Word of God hid within her heart. And I want us to think about this, mothers. Teach your children to know and to apply Scripture. That's the first truth I want us to draw from this passage. Teach your children to know and to apply Scripture. It's good to memorize, but it's also good to talk to them about how that applies to their lives and in different situations that they may come across. And not only did Mary know the Scriptures, she implemented them into her conversation. In this great anthem of praise, we realize that Mary knew the meaning of those Old Testament passages. that's how she could apply them to the situation that she was in, the way she applied it. She was able to take those passages and to apply them to her situation. And you might say, well, the Holy Spirit did that part. And I understand, and I would say, yes, that's true. But it is because the Scripture was already in her mind that the Holy Spirit was able to include it in this inspired anthem by Mary. Think about what God calls, in the writings of Paul, what God calls the Bible. He calls it the sword of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that uses it, but it's our responsibility to know the sword, to know the Word of God. Mary knew it so well that it just began to come out of her as she began to praise God. See, Mary had grown up memorizing Scripture. She had to have, in order for this to come out the way that it came out. And she learned how to apply it. Keep in mind, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119, in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Jeremiah says it this way, and I think this is a beautiful application that Jeremiah gives us when he talks about the Word of God. He says this, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Isn't that a beautiful passage? What imagery that Jeremiah gives us here of taking the Word of God and eating it as food. But let's face it, the Word of God is food for us, Christian. It is our spiritual food. Just as much as we need physical food to sustain this flesh, we've got to have spiritual food to sustain our spiritual well-being. We have to understand that. And Jeremiah puts it so clearly for us when he talks about eating the Word of God and it being a joy and rejoicing. And let's face it, we live in very uncertain times, don't we? I know you can't say amen, but you can nod your head there in your car. Give me a thumbs up, whatever you want to do. But the truth of the matter is, we live in uncertain times, and I think we all agree on that. There's a lot of information that's being thrown at us on a daily basis. It's hard to know what is true and what is not. Mothers, one thing you can give your children that is always true, that is always going to help them. And one of the things you can give them that will never change no matter what goes on around the world, and that is the Word of God. It never changes. It's always true. You can give that to your children. I think we can also imply from this passage and the way that we understand this, and even from other passages where we see Mary in her behavior, is that Jesus himself must have grown up in a home where the Word of God was taught and loved. Think about that. When God chose an earthly mother for his incarnate son, he chose one who would pass on a true love for God's word. How unique it must have been. I don't know if your mind works this way, but I think about this, how unique it must have been to have the author of the Word of God, the word that you love and trust, in your home as your child, and to teach him to memorize that word and how to apply it. How unique that must have been in Mary's situation. But keep in mind also that Jesus was the oldest of a few children. He wasn't the only child in that home. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark, we have four half-brothers and two half-sisters of Jesus named for us. We have those there. So we know that there were at least seven children counting Jesus, and those were the and Joseph. So they grew up in the same home as Jesus Christ. I did say that only one of their children was taught the Word of God, every single one. And I'll say more on that in just a minute. But mothers, start them alone and teach them to memorize and apply verses from God's Word. Every now and then I get to hear children, whether it be through the church ministry or through our school ministry, every now and then I get to hear children memorizing and quoting God's Word. What a blessing it is, because we know it will impact their lives. Think about what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55. He said, "So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me but void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's a wonderful promise. And you don't have that promise for any other book that your child can pick up and read except the Bible. How important that is for us to understand God's Word and the role that it plays. But I also want you to remember that Mary married Joseph. And you may think, what's significant about that? Well, we have some recorded about Joseph too. Joseph was a man who was obedient every time that God gave him direction. Think about that. He never questioned God. Mothers, teach your children the importance of choosing the right spouse. That's the next truth I want you to understand. Joseph never questioned God when he was told by an angel to do something. As a matter of fact, Joseph was actually told to pick up everything, move the family right on the spot, and he obeyed without a question. It's pretty magnificent obedience when you think about it. He had to earn a living. He was a carpenter. So he would get up and walk away from his job and just move as God instructed him to. So Mary married a man of godly character. This is so important when choosing a life partner. Parents, don't let your children marry a person who is not obedient to God's word. Make sure you check that out before they commit to marrying an individual. Because if they're disobedient to God's word, they're bringing that marriage partner right into that same mentality. Now think about this. Another thing for us to consider. Mary and Joseph had two sons that authored books of the Bible. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. He did not author a book of the Bible. We have records about him. The Bible speaks about him from beginning to end. There's no doubt about it. But they had two other sons that literally authored inspired books of the Bible. That is the book of James and the book of Jude. No other couple that we know of can make that claim. And I want you to think about this. Remember what I said a while ago about knowing the Scripture and passing it on to the children? The book of James was probably the first book of the New Testament that was written. If not, it was very close. And that means that all they had for their Bible at that point was the Old Testament. They had the verbal teachings of Jesus. And they had the verbal teachings of the apostles. And they were none of that had been written down yet. So they had, as far as writing goes, the Old Testament. Now listen to this. In the book of James, there are 108 verses. And in those 108 verses in the book of James, he references 22 books of the Old Testament. James knew the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. And I want you to think about Jude. Jude wrote a small book. Jude, the brother of James, who was both the half-brothers of Jesus, these were the children of Joseph and Mary. Jude wrote one of the later books in the New Testament. James wrote one of the beginning books. Jude wrote one near the end of the writings. And his book only had 25 verses in it. And I want you to think about this, that in those 25 verses, he references 10 Old Testament characters or events. And he's giving his advice to his audience. He's telling them to contend for the faith. And as he tells them to contend for the faith, where does he take them? He takes them to Scripture. And he gives them examples from the Old Testament, at least 10 examples within 25 verses. That's a high percentage of the use of the Old Testament in the books of both of Mary and Joseph's sons who wrote. Why did these boys, these men, these half-brothers of Jesus, why did they put so much emphasis on understanding and applying the Scripture? The answer is they knew the power of it. They had already hid it in their hearts and it just flowed out of them. And I'm challenged this morning on this Mother's Day as I think about this. Isn't it a beautiful thought to have a generation of young people who has God's Word hid in their hearts and can quickly rely on it to change their lives in every situation, to give them guidance, but then also to be able to use it to talk to others and give guidance to others who need it, who they interact with. Now, I also want you to notice in the life of Mary, back in verse number 38, what it says. Now, before Mary gave this great anthem that we refer to as Mary's Magnificat, she says this in verse number 38. And Mary said, as she speaks to the angel, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Do you see that obedience? We see in this verse of Scripture Mary's real heart attitude. This is a spirit of surrender to the plan of God for her life. The plan that God laid out for Mary was not an easy plan. It was a very difficult plan, but she immediately surrendered when God gave her what he wanted her to do. Mothers, let me give you another truth. Teach your children to pursue God's plan for their life above all others. Pursue God's plan above all others. Now, we want to give our children the best opportunities and privileges that we possibly can. Every good parent wants to do that. We all understand. We want our children to be the best that they can be. But let's be sure, parents, in the process of doing that, that we don't teach them that God can take second place to other pursuits. Sometimes we have other things to take precedence over God's plans for their lives or God's given priorities. Sports, academics, career opportunities, family, even recreational activities often get placed before God within our homes and God's house. And we justify ourselves in doing it. How our children must learn from that. You know, let's be honest. We know some folks that have gotten upset with our state government for not recognizing that church is an essential gathering. There are some states that have recognized churches and the gathering of God's people as essential. And within our state, that has not happened. But I also wonder if the attitude that church is really not that important. I wonder if that attitude has been fostered by Christians who actually themselves have made church secondary to other things in their lives. I want us to ponder that for just a moment. Mary immediately yielded. You know, through this COVID shutdown experience, I pray that we've gotten a deeper appreciation for God's house and the ability that we had to freely worship him. I pray that we have. And I pray that we pass that on to our children. And let me just say that one of my biggest concerns as we pass through this trying time, and it is a trying time for all of us, as we pass through this trying time with the virus, one of my biggest concerns is not how the government will respond, but really how God's people will respond. And if we will learn the lessons that God wants us to learn from it. And we need to let that soak in and think about it. And so mothers, teach your children to put God's plan above all other plans. And then I want you to notice in verse number 47 here of Luke chapter 1, when Mary begins her great anthem of praise. Well, let's just read 46 as well. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I want you to notice how Mary says that. Mary understood her true position. Mary was in need of a Savior. I know that goes contrary to the teachings of some individuals, but I got to tell you this morning, as good as Mary was, she knew she needed a Savior. And she recognized that in this great anthem of praise. We understand that Mary was a virgin. She had kept herself pure. Mary's character was magnificent. That's why God chose her. But in the midst of all of those things, and even her love for God's word, she still had a sin nature and she needed a Savior. Every person outside of Jesus Christ who walks on the face of this earth is in need of a Savior. And think about this, Mary, as she watched her son grow, one day she watched him die for the penalty of her own sins and for the penalty of yours and mine and our children's as well. That's why Jesus Christ came to earth. And so, mothers, I want to say this morning. Mothers, please pray for your children's salvation. Make sure you pray for that. In the midst of the other things that you teach them, would you pray for their salvation? And let me say that you don't have to pressure them. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't. Because if you rear them, learning and applying Scripture, and you constantly have them involved in God's house, the church that God has provided, they will, when the time comes, they will understand their need for a Savior. And they'll talk to you about it, especially if they see it in your life. And so, mothers, pray for your children and live the example before them. Pray that God will save them. Now look at chapter 2 here of Luke and verse number 19, if you would please. Luke 2, look at verse number 19. We see another thing that happens with Mary. Mary just gave birth to Jesus Christ. By the time we get to Luke 2:19, the shepherds on the hill receive a message from the angels to go and see this babe that is lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they come right in there. And I got to tell you, I've had the privilege in all of my life of knowing several women that have given birth. And as a side note, I'm simply going to say that I praise God that it is the women that give the birth. And I'm grateful for that. But now back to the preaching. I don't know a single lady that has given birth that would like, within a matter of minutes, to have a group of shepherds running into the room gathering around the child. I don't know that I would have ever met a lady that would have enjoyed that happening. But right here, that's what happened to Mary. And in midst of the situation and the circumstances around her, to have these strangers flooding into the room and to have them looking at her child with this look of magnificence because God had just told them that this was the Savior of the world. This is what Mary, the way she responds, verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary pondered them. We have the same type of statement over in verse 51 of this chapter. And in this particular verse of Scripture, Jesus is 12 years old. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary pondered these things. And I want you to think about this. Mary contemplated God's will for her son. Not only was Mary active in teaching and rearing her children, she also was an observer of the things that came into their lives. Think about that. She was an observer, and based on these verses, Mary pondered these things. And what that tells us is that Mary knew that God was working in Jesus' life. And I dare say she did the same thing for all of her children. After all, we know of at least two of her sons that became pastors. We've already talked about them. Mothers, teach your children that God is actively involved in their lives to prepare them for His plan. They just need to surrender to it. Mary pondered these things. She observed what was going on. She knew that God was working. We need to understand that we need to see God in the details of our lives. And Mary did that for her children. She pondered these things. She looked at it and she observed and she knew that God was working. How she must have wondered how all of this was going to play out. And how she must have taught her children the same. Teach them to see how God uses events to form us into the vessels that He wants us to be. And God does do that. God has a plan for each of us, and He is uniquely preparing us for that plan that He has. Teach your children to ponder it and to see it and then to yield to it. And eventually, Mary watched her son die for the sins of the world. And we understand that. That was the plan for his life. He was born to die. Well, the plans for our lives is now to live for Him. And God has a unique way for all of us to do that. We need to see that actively within our lives and teach it to our children. Would you bow your head with me this morning, please? Our Father, we want to thank You for the truths of Your Word. We want to thank You, Lord, that You've held back the rain during this time and made this service very doable. Lord, I want to thank You for these people that are here, that have come and wanted to have this time together. Lord, to be able to enjoy just being on the premises together, to sing these hymns, to look into Your Word. And Father, the truths of Your Word this morning that we see, particularly in regards to Mary's life and character, We ask, Lord, that you would help us to get our minds wrapped around that. We pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us these things, and Father, that we will be obedient as you direct us throughout life. God, I pray that every child that is under the sound of my voice will grow up within a home that teaches them to love you, to love your word, and to see you working in their lives. Father, please. Father, we commit that generation to you. Father, we ask now that you give us safety as we part one from another. Bless the rest of the day for these great folks that are here. And Lord, we pray that you will be honored in it all. And Lord, as we meet back tonight, we pray that you would be honored by the evening service as well. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It is so good to see you all this morning. Tonight, we will live stream our service back indoors. We'll be live streaming, and that begins at 6 o'clock this evening. And we've got the ushers that have the gifts up here to give out to the mothers. And so God bless y'all. Have a good Mother's Day. And as you drive off, just roll down your window and let them know. God bless you.